All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Oh, Let's Talk About It. If you're new here, I ask that you take a moment to hit that subscribe button. And if you've joined as recent as yesterday, I thank you for joining and being here for the ride. Today, I want to talk about something that I've been touching on recently and just delving into. I do it first analyzing my own situations. So I don't come to you as the expert or as the know-it-all or, and let me be clear, I'm not anti-marriage or anti-relationship at all. Even if I don't choose to do it myself again, I'm not against those that choose to do it. I just find that there are different variables that come into play that we may not be taking to account when we're looking at marriage. I think we try to approach marriage in a new age with the same old standards. Now, do some of those standards still exist and still hold value? Of course. But we have to be honest about who's around us, what's around us, and the things that help shape what the world looks like now. You know, the structure of marriage was different back in the day. You know, some variations you saw most times the man as the provider, and the woman may or may not have worked, but she was more so the house, you know, kept the house. She made sure things were good at the house. And not saying that that was light, because that's a job in itself, especially if you have children. So it was kind of standard. The man would bring in the bacon. The woman would cook it. Not saying that that was the better way to be. As we progress forward, of course, in 1916, the first birth control clinics were opened in the United States. Margaret Sanger was the founder of the American Birth Control League, which later changed its name to Planned Parenthood in 1942. Okay, so you go from having mother and father, man and woman in the house, cohabitating, raising a family, not even saying that the marriage was 100 or whatever, because let's not act like everything was perfect back in the day. Sometimes I wish stuff was like back in the day, and I wish this and I wish this about back in the day. Let's stop acting like everything was so perfect, because we don't have all these cousins and stuff because everything was perfect. So let's call a thing a thing, all right? But at the same time, you had man and a woman in the house. For the most part, growing up with the older generations, for the most part, I saw husband and wife, man and woman, in the house together. There were still some that were single or whatever the case might have been, but I saw more men, women in the house together. Then, of course, like I stated just a few minutes ago, you know, as things progressed along with Planned Parenthood, the start was questionable, but it became clear as time went along. It made it so that a certain amount of help was provided to the women as long as the man wasn't in the house. It didn't matter whether he was wealthy, rich, minimum wage, whatever. He couldn't be in the house. So even if you had a man, you had to kind of sneak him out or make a way to not have the people catch you with the man living in your house. So it's like, we can help you, but he can't be here. If he here, we ain't got nothing for you. And of course, with things being the way they are and the way they were, they kind of put you in a position to have to take the help. And it started, and now you have generations of people that have come up off of that. So you have to realize some of the people, some our age, but some younger, they didn't get to grow up seeing some of the same stuff we saw. you have 3-4 generations of man, woman not being in the house together, where do they see those couples that are together at? Or the age gap is so far apart, it's not the same. So we have to understand when we're looking at marriage now, we have to accept it for what it is now, not what it used to be, because it's not what it used to be, y'all. Can we still have that? Can some people still come together and make it happen? Of course. I know happily married couples, but I know a lot of unhappily married couples at the same time. All right. Let me go to some notes. I want to ask a couple of questions, and I don't plan to be up here long. But I want to ask some real questions. How many of you got married simply because you thought you had to do it? You know, whether you were shacking up, which I should look up where that term came from. It's not biblical, but I always heard church folks using it. It came from somewhere. I'm sure it did, so I looked that up. You got her pregnant, or a number of variables, and you felt like the next best option was marriage. Or you had pressure from family. Like I said in a previous podcast, I remember being told, y'all need to get married. And because we trusted that person's judgment and their word, and knowing they had the right intent, I'm not even saying there was ill intent with that, we chose to get married, but it still wasn't based on us sitting down thinking it all the way through. Pressure from the person you with. Let's be honest, ladies. And I want y'all to think about this. And y'all can respond on the video or whatever. But sometimes I think the wedding anticipation is actually more exciting than the actual marriage itself. I might be wrong about that. The reason I say that, I look at some that have had the most beautiful weddings, dopest receptions, car wreck of a marriage. Might have had a location wedding, DJ and all, you know, champagne, all the good stuff at the reception. You know, you doing the electric slide, you cha-cha, you whatever it is, you doing that. Garbage marriage. And I'm not saying that's your fault, ladies. Not at all. But I think the anticipation of that day supersedes the work that comes after that. Correct me if I'm wrong. But have some proof with that. Don't just say, well, you wrong. Have some proof with that. And fellas, you're not off the hook either, because being a coward and going ahead and doing it anyway, it can seem honorable. But if you knew you did it because you were afraid what people might say, how that person might feel, on the inside, you really weren't 100 with yourself about it, but you still did it to please everybody else. I understand. Look, I'm not knocking you. We've done it. Some of us have done that before. But at what point do we, especially if you haven't gotten married, if you've gotten married before, at what point do we decide, let me analyze this from top to bottom? And I spoke on some of this on a previous podcast, but what's some of the things you should analyze from top to bottom? Okay. First, you must be honest about your own background. What type of relationship did you have with your parents? Did you have a good relationship with your mother? Did you have a good relationship with your father? Did you have a bad relationship with your mother? Bad relationship with your father? Either way, both of those shaped you. You picked up things from your mother. You picked up things from your father. and that shaped who you were as a person. Even though you had your own individual feelings and emotions and things, still a lot of their principles and precepts shaped who you were as a person. So now you go out into to this world not really being told that everybody don't have what you have. You don't get told that. So you go out into the world looking for what you thinking everybody has the same, good or bad, thinking everybody has the same precepts or same interpretation of what relationships should be, because that's what you saw, not realizing everybody not seeing that. Like I say, whether it's good or bad, you know, so I'll say that's one of the first things. Even if it's not first, that's one of the main things. Understand where that person comes from. Understand where you come from first. And work on that. Because you might have some trauma with your relationship with your father, the relationship with your mother. That will affect you with your partner. You can say it won't, but I promise you, you have an issue. If you have issues with your mother and father, some of that comes out with your partner. Because it has to have a channel. It has to have an avenue to get out. And being that person is the person that's around you the most, they're going to catch it. Like I said, you have to analyze that. And then upon analyzing that, observe them. And once you figure out, because, okay, and let's go here. Once you figure out what shaped you, then you should decide, I might need to talk to somebody about this first. I might need to get therapy or seek some type of counseling, real counseling. I'm going to keep saying this because I need to say it. I'm not talking about with your pastor. Unless your pastor has a certification or degree in therapy, you need, use the pastor, let the pastor do what the pastor does, but go get real therapy. So you might not even proceed to the relationship first, because you got. I'm going to use some of y'all terms. Let a man examine himself. You got to examine you first and be honest with yourself. We got to see. Sometimes I get asked where my podcast come from, where my thoughts come from. It comes from me being honest with myself. And as you see, and I try to take accountability for all of my mistakes before I speak about how somebody unfolded or whatever. I'll let you know Ed messed that up too. I'm not trying to be the victim or be victimless. I've hurt some people in my time. I've said and done some things to some people at 42 I wish I wouldn't have done. And they may or may not ever forgive me. I get that. So I'm not speaking as if I'm above anybody. We trying to work through this together, right? All right, so let's keep it rocking. But I'm going to go back to what I was saying. Before you even proceed to a relationship, you might need to get you right first. Okay, let's say you got you right. I noticed my triggers, boom, boom, whatever, whatever. Then you start looking for a mate. You need to know, and you can agree or disagree. Actually, like I said, I spoke about this before. I heard the pastor R.A. Vernon say this. He said, you want to know what type of woman you get, look at her mother. And vice versa. Women, you want to know the type of man you get, look at his father. I come from Ed Senior. I'm pretty dope. But in saying that, whether you think you did, whether you think you didn't, whether you wanted to, whether you didn't want to, you picked up things from your parents, good or bad. Even as I'm talking right now, I see and hear my father. Certain hand mannerisms and things that I don't know I'm doing, but when I do it, he did it. So it's some things you're going to pick up, not even trying to do it. You know? So you gotta analyze that first. You got to look into that and sometimes it's tough because, okay, let's say they come from a tough background. It does not mean they're going to be a messed up person, because some people come from the messed up backgrounds, and because it seems to possibly affect people two ways. they either go away from that and do really good for themselves, or they do bad for themselves. It sucks them up. And they can use the excuse, well, my mom and daddy. Well, the other person that was successful used it too. My mom and daddy did such and such, so I decided to do such and such. I love them too. You know? So you can use them as the excuse for both. You know what I'm saying? You gonna come out how you come out. And I feel like I'm skipping around, but I think I'm going back to this point. Like you say, analyze where they come from. And sometimes it's going to be tough. Make some tough decisions. Message came through. I want to talk to her in a minute. Make some tough decisions about people. Because you might actually have some interest in them. Nobody tells us this stuff, though. Nobody tells us what to look for when looking for a mate. And let me be clear again. I'm not giving the only answers. You might not agree. Fine. But at least have the conversations about this stuff. I don't think we're having the conversations enough. I think we get out of relationships. We're brokenhearted. We're looking for somebody to fix something. That's the thing. And talking to people over the last few weeks, that's what inspires some of my podcasts. If you know me from social media, from Facebook, you might know the funny, the laughs, and this and that. But I actually have conversations with people, like real conversations. And my podcast gets, I'm inspired by some of the conversations, some of their troubles, some of their successes. And I put it all together because it needs to be presented to people in a way where they can sit back, listen to it again and again if they need to. And ask themselves these questions. Do I have issues with how I was raised, with my parents? And how does that reflect out into the world? Am I attracting that type of energy to me based on that? I need to address that first. Okay. Like I say, that was the first thing. You really need to know where they're coming from. I remember one girl, and it didn't hit me then. It didn't hit me then. I remember a young lady telling me, my daddy was a crackhead, my mama was a hoe. Those are her words. I'm not even paraphrasing, trying to be funny. My daddy was a crackhead, my mama was a hoe. Her parents loved her, I believe. She loved them. But if you know anything about either of those, you know you're not going to conduct yourself fully in a manner to be healthy towards your children. So when problems and stuff started to come up, initially, I didn't, not saying there was all of that, but when certain things would come up, it didn't necessarily click then. Oh, she's responding that way because she doesn't know what a healthy version of this looks like. So because she saw the unhealthy version of it, she thinks what I'm doing is wrong. I'm going to say that again because that might not have really, really clicked. You can see the wrong thing for years, and because that's all you see, you think that's right. And you'll think somebody else is wrong because you've just never been exposed to anything else. So you think, hey, okay, he's the jackass. Not realizing, no, you came up under some rough situations. You might need to talk to somebody about that. You know, like I said, why do we want to get married? That's what I want to go into. When people are looking for relationships and looking to connect with people, what are you really looking for? Somebody sent me a video just earlier today. And the young lady was saying, and I'm going to paraphrase, some people get with a man, and I'm going to use a man because I'm a man, for what he got in his hand. How about you like him? Honestly, I feel like there are some situations I've even missed out on because when you're programmed to think you or expect certain things from a person, based on all the confusion around you, you might be actually looking over a good person, but you're distracted by the wrong information. If you're all caught up in social media all day and not using it as a tool, and you're all caught up in it all day and just taking in this knowledge and this information and this and that and this anger and this fun, you're taking in all these thoughts, which I don't even know if that's natural for us to take in all of these thoughts every day, but you're taking in all of these thoughts. And now you see somebody which you think you like, but because now you got all these thoughts over the place. Oh, he got to have this. He got to have this. I need this. You got too much coming inside your brain trying to shape how you feel about this person. So maybe you need to log off and clear out for a minute. You know. Of marriages break up because of finances. I just read that today. Like I said, I'm doing this because the information keeps coming to me. And I had said a couple weeks ago I wanted to do this podcast. And every day some more information comes to me that usually I don't, it's not in my eyesight, my peripheral or whatever. 41% of marriages end because of finances. And with us knowing that, we still link up broke. Who taught us that? Who taught us that we were supposed to get together broke, struggle all our life, and then find it honorable because we finally figure it out? Not saying you're wrong. Listen, and I'm not going to keep explaining myself, but I'm going to just listen because I want the message to get through. There are some of you that have figured it out. I salute you. Because I haven't and so many others haven't. So for those that have figured it out, I salute you. I'm on your side. Don't ever think it is against what you're doing. But for us that haven't figured it out, we got some questions that we need to ask and some answers that need to be told or revealed. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go back. Marriage is business. We don't have to accept that. We don't have to want it to be. We don't ever have to say it. But we must realize, and I can't find my note for that, but I know it a little bit off the top of the head. You take the rest of the information. Go study it for yourself. As you see, I do a little bit of studying. You can do some for yourself. But the marriage license actually didn't come into effect until, I'm not even going to get a date because I got two dates in mind. But it was within the last 100, 200 years, I say that. So there always hasn't been a marriage license. Now, understand this marriage license is pretty much an agreement between you all and the state. That's what that is. So you're able to do a certain amount of business, insurance, all these different things because you're dealing with the state. You're an entity dealing with the state. You don't have to believe that. But do y'all share life insurance? You share bank accounts? Can you do taxes together? Like things you're allowed to do together now that you are married? Because the state allows you to do that. Because you're in agreement with the state. So me saying marriage is business, I know too many couples that argue over how they're going to structure their money. Are we going to have separate bank accounts? Are we going to have one joint account where we pay the bills from there to have our separate accounts? Are we going to have everything just in one account? You need to know that stuff too coming out the gate. And also know how flexible that person is because they may have a different experience than you as far as the way they think money should go. So I'm not saying just cut them off if they have a different point of view. But what I'm saying is see how flexible they are. See if they're willing to try something different. And I'm not here to tell you which way works. You got to find the one that works for you. But these are the conversations that should be had prior to. We shouldn't be getting married and then trying to figure out how we're going to do our bank accounts. And then every week you're mad or you're arguing because the money just not, the money not moneying. the balance not balancing. You know what I'm saying? When if you have these conversations early on, okay, how do you, okay, we get together. What's your view on how we do the bills? Do you think we should have a joint account? Like, okay, the joint account, we put the money for the bills and then we have separate, or am I responsible for this, this, this? You're responsible for, how do you want to do that? Or what's your view of that? And depending on what they say, process that. Now, they may say something totally different, but they may end it with, but I'm open to, you know, trying some other things. That's progress. As long as they really open to trying other things. And that goes for men and women. You know. But do we realize that? Okay, I hear a lot of people say, I get married because I need to be able to, you know, I need to be able to, you know, leave my stuff to somebody when I die. That sounds good. Truth be told, most of us die without a will, without a trust, without life insurance, without all any of this. So we say it because it sounds good. But a lot of us are dying, taking an L. And people got to make GoFundMes because we didn't structure things right. But you do realize you can still pass that stuff on to a mate without being married to them, right? You can create it and put it under trust, wills, trust, stuff like that. And I'm not even, if you hear me mention something, go look it up, because I don't have time to get into the specifics of everything. But you can structure it so if you pass, they still get that. And you don't have to be married to them. And that does make sense. Now, because for it to be a union between two people that only costs you about $60 to $65 to get into, why does it cost you $500 plus to get out when it's supposed to be just y'all two? Why do I need to get lawyers and this and that involved if this our stuff? Why do I need to talk to this judge or to this person right here if it's us? And maybe this going over somebody here. Maybe they don't look at it like that. Maybe they're cool with having these people that don't sleep in the bed with us at night. The people don't make certain decisions that we make. All of a sudden when it don't go right, this stranger gets to make some decisions. Like, does that, if that makes sense to you, cool, but it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense whether good or bad, whether turmoil or triumph that we go through, that if, say if it ends up going bad, now we got to go talk to a stranger to work it out. Or we got to pay this, pay that to work it out. Why? Because here's the thing. Yes, there are marriages that stay together. Wonderful. Okay, but think about the ones that split up and how much money and time and stuff it costs you. Think about if you had never gotten married. And for some reason, people think when you say you don't want to get married, that means you're saying you don't want a committed relationship. No, I still want that. But I'm not going through those steps again. Because I don't have to. If I get with someone and we've both decided that we are enough and our word is enough for each other, even if we still have a ceremony, you know, it won't be in a church, you know what I'm saying? But even if we have some type of marriage ceremony, we don't have to sign that paper to say, to validate our relationship. Yes, I know it's certain benefits to saying you're married in certain groups and blah, blah, blah. That stuff I don't care about, though. Because nobody's going to tell me how to life my life. And that's what I think people get confused about. You try to follow all these guidelines of people and things that came before you. Some of them are good. not ever taking into consideration what you want. And that you have the power to have what you want. You know. Got a couple more notes here. In recent years, black women have actually had a higher divorce rate than marriage rate. And I just pointed that out because I had it in my notes, but that's something that's important. That's not a knock to black women, because y'all were married to us more times than not. But that's saying something. Anytime the divorce rate is higher than the marriage rate, that's saying something about how we're viewing this thing. We have to repackage and reanalyze what marriage means now. Because if you go back and study and look at it, marriage has always been different over different courses of time. Even how we got married, even as slaves, we just jumped the broom. Y'all know that though, right? Then the marriage license and all that came into play. But the dynamics of the relationship have always changed at a certain point. So we can't keep seeing new situations, taking an old mindset into that. We got to adjust to that. And we got to start doing the real work to understand why we get married. Because truth be told, if I had knew the questions and things to ask, if I had been more aware of who I was, I would have never gotten married. And that's not a knock to them, because I appreciate them. I'm thankful for them. Still might have dated them. But knowing now certain things, I wouldn't even took them through that. Because think about it. We went through all that and we still got divorced. Not saying we had to, but think about the damage that divorce does to people. It might take years before y'all ever can really speak and be cool again, because you got to go through so much just to get the fuck away from them. When it only took $60, $65 to get linked up with them. It makes no sense. Let's see what else I got up here. You know what I mean? Nobody tells us to, but listen. It's okay to get your situation straight first. It's okay to get your finances straight. It's okay to get your housing, whatever your situation might be. It's okay to get that in order first. I know sometimes we need help in this life, but let's get real help. Let's not take advantage of people. Let's not just get with them because we need our bills paid. You might be a sex addict, and this gonna sound crazy, but let's not just get with a person just so you'll have a regular person to have sex with on the regular. That's real stuff that happen, that people do. I ain't just making it up. Let's make sure when we get with this person, you're getting with them for them, because all that other stuff can change. They could be a 6-7 figure nigga one day and some tragic happen and they be a zero. You going to stay around for that? Was you really into them for that? Or you was there for them figures, for them O's? Y'all not listening to me. It's all good. It's still good stuff, though. Why did I get married? Does marriage still make sense? I don't know. Let's think about that. In the meantime, I'll holler at y'all. Peace.